You're listening to the Virginia Beef Council Hokey Pod, presented by Virginia's cattle farmers. Bring everyone back to the table and get cooking at beefitswhatsfordinner.com.
Newsom's going to try to run with it, and he's going nowhere! All the way, touchdown!
Hard, smart, tough. Is that this team or what?
Nothing but clean! Mountain air in front of him! 3, 2, 1, touchdown! Virginia Tech Hokies!
Now, let's get cooking for the week. With Tech Hall of Famer Mike Burnup and the voice of the Hokies, John Lazor, here's your host, Wes McElroy.
Hello, Hokies. Welcome once again to Hokey Pod. For the first time ever, we've taken the show on the road, and we found a way to make my Hall of Fame broadcast partner, Mike Burnup, excited about podcasting. We took him to a wing joint, and not just any wing joint, Buffalo Wild Wings, Blacksburg, Four Wing Tuesday. We've left Wes McElroy behind. Fear not, he'll be back with us a week from now on this bye week Hokey Pod. Mikey, you're smiling, you're excited. It's podcast time. It's wing time. This is a pretty cool new endeavor for us.
I know, and this is the first time, believe it or not, I have been up here in this one. And obviously we missed the one in Roanoke this year, and I was disappointed. So, yeah, I'm like missing the BW3 wings for a long time, and I'm going to make up for it today.
Yes, you are. Yeah, this is, I've been in here a couple of times. They moved essentially not too far from the old location, but it's a brand-new feel in here. They've done a great job with this Buffalo Wild Wings. They've treated us kindly, as I understand it, our first batch, and I did want to specify first batch of wings is currently in the works.
Excellent, because I'm looking forward to that, and I might have to have you have a long segment so I can make sure I can enjoy those wings while you're talking. But, yeah, it's amazing. The TV's in here, and they're looking over the streets. This is beautiful. Well set up. I was in the other one many times, but the first time here. So, very nice setup.
So, those that have listened to Hokey Pod in the past, they know that it's kind of a private endeavor. They don't know where or when it's being recorded. It just kind of magically appears on their podcast streams. So, this was a way for us to bring it out into the public eye to an awesome place here at BW3's. So we will announce, and we'll of course let you know when the future dates are. We'll do this once a month at Buffalo Wild Wings. It'll always be on a Wing Tuesday or a Wednesday of a particular game week. But Mikey, without further ado, let's dive into Hokies football. Of course, they're in their bye week, as Coach Fuente now has memorably said, following a win over Furman that we're going to get into here in just a second, but one that certainly didn't pass the eye test in many ways, at least for the fan base, and particularly in the first half. He said, I'm thankful that this team doesn't have to play anybody this week. That was a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I think it's also fitting. This is a team that needs to get back to the workshop a little bit.
They do. They got a lot of work to do in all phases of the game, and I feel like Fu is here watching over us, which he really is, because his picture's right here. But they do have a lot of work to do. And I think the open date, though, is coming at a great time because so many guys are banged up. A couple guys haven't even been on the field yet, namely Damon Hazleton. And I think you just got to get some guys well. You think about Tywan Garbutt, got hit in that first game in the first series, hadn't been back since. So I think it's at a good time. You know, you just kind of hope that they haven't been very sharp through the first three games, to say the least. And so I think you just have to hope that maybe part of that is playing to the level of your competition. You know, when they had to get going like in the second half the other day, they did, which is certainly encouraging. They finally forced some turnovers. But I think it's still a work in progress. And I think when we talked about this all summer and listened to Coach Fuente talk about it and the assistants and the players, the chemistry on this team is really, really good. We knew that they were going to be really good with the first bunch, but some of the backups needed work. And now we're seeing so many guys injured and banged up that I think it has been a work in progress, and you got the open date at a good time, and now you're back to ACC play, and there's no gimmies on the schedule, and so it's going to be really, really difficult, but now's where you got to make it or break it.
We've got a lot of things to get to and a lot of things to rewind and look at from the first three games of the season, but we'll primarily focus, of course, on the Furman game and then also look ahead. This bye week comes very early in the football calendar, which changes the way in which this program will approach the bye week in terms of their schedule. But let's go back to Furman first, Mike. You mentioned it. You got some turnovers in the second half. You were clearly very proud, if you're this coaching staff, of this team coming from behind, coming out of a hole, doing it in a stadium that, for the most part, had emptied out at halftime just due to the fact that you were trailing 14-3. I said this to you in our radio postgame following the broadcast, and I said, I don't think that last year's team would have come back and won that football game, because that was a team that struggled, particularly the second half of the season, to respond to adversity. So your thoughts on both. One, the fortitude to come back, but also we can't overlook the fact how you got in that hole in the first place, which was essentially combining that lack of execution with poor timing on some turnovers as well.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it. We talked about this last night on the show, that the first six possessions, it just wasn't pretty. I mean, there were two punts. There were two turnovers. Those two turnovers gave them short fields, 41, 42-yard line. So they got 14 points off the turnovers. You had a field goal. Then you missed the field goal. It hit the upright. And then you had, what, I think four penalties and two or three sacks. I mean, it just wasn't pretty. It wasn't sharp, wasn't crisp. You know, you're sitting there as a 20-point favorite, and you got three on the board at the half, and the crowd's just heading to the exits. And understandably so, even Fu said, you know, it was difficult to watch. But I think at halftime I'd have loved to have been a fly on the wall and just to see who was taking charge. It was kind of funny just talking post-game to Keyshawn King about how he challenged the offensive line to get it going, get to the next level, make some holes for me. And he was a big part of that in the third quarter about getting going. And then the defense forced a turnover. So right back, just like that, you're right into it. Two scores in less than 2 minutes got you going. So, yeah, you had to be proud of them. Could they have come back last year? You know, when you go back and look at last year, and that defense was so young, so green, and a lot of games they were in it in the first half. And then the second half, they just got worn down, deflated, couldn't pick themselves up off the ground. You think about the Notre Dame game. You know, it's a one-point game at the half, and three plays later, you got a 93-yard touchdown run, and then they were gone. Pittsburgh, second half, they're still running down the street, and you just couldn't tackle them. So I don't know that they could have last year, but it was good to see them get going and get it right. I thought the defense, when you think about it, they only gave up 230 yards, and they gave up, what, 83 on those two drives. So I thought for the most part they kept the quarterback in check and did a real good job. But still, you know, you've only scored, what, 31 points max this year? I mean, this offense is capable of doing so much more. And I think, again, they've only scratched the surface.
Let's keep it with the offense. Let's talk about Keyshawn King. You mentioned it there, Mike, in your analysis of that victory over Furman and primarily what they were able to do in the second half. They rode Keyshawn King. He's the freshman. They put a lot on his plate to the offensive line's credit, and they struggled mightily in the first half, particularly at the right tackle spot, regardless of who was there, and you did have to make a switch. There were some holes available for Keyshawn King, and I think we saw the explosive nature that he brings and a different element to this run game, but at the same time, he got banged up not once, but twice. We'll get into a little bit of a comedic angle to how he got banged up the second time. But I think you showcased that, one, he's the guy that can be the spark plug to the running game, but you also see the detraction in the fact that he's probably not physically mature enough at this point to handle a massive workload.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminds you of like Deshaun McLeese. I mean, he's just not that big. And if he gets hit hard, you know, it's like you feel like he's going to break in half. But, I mean, the kid's got this infectious smile. He's so explosive. He's so fast. I mean, when you watch him go through a hole, he goes through there like nobody else on this roster does. I mean, he's just got another gear to him. And he kind of reminds me of, like, Ryan Williams when he was young. He was an incredible running back, had that gift, had the speed. He could find another gear. And so I just love what he's all about. Fu talked about him all summer, about the kid's explosive. And he's got the ability to change games. And he was able to do that in the second half, just kind of challenge the offensive line. I mean, imagine that. Here this guy's like a buck 80, right? And he's standing there 6 feet tall at the most, and he's looking up at, like, Luke Tenuta, who's 6'7", 315. Like, dude, like, how about open up some holes here so broken we can get going here, get to that next level, get to the linebackers so we can move and get something going. And, yeah, I mean, he had that 54-yard run. He was just dynamite. And I just think he's – got a really bright future if they can keep him healthy, but he's like nobody else that's on the roster right now.
This is Hokie Pod for the first ever occasion on location from Buffalo Wild Wings Blacksburg. The staff is gearing up for Wing Tuesday. I can see people starting to assemble outside. They're getting ready for wings, as are we. We're talking about the Hokies' victory over Furman. And what we like about Hokie Pod a lot of times, Mike, is we can bring people behind the scenes. We were just discussing Keyshawn King and the dynamic that he brings to the offensive side of the football. But I think, to your point, he's a young guy, and he's just kind of finding his way in terms of what he's going to represent for this program. He walked in, he was able to do media because he had such a phenomenal showing in that game afterwards. Then he came across to do a post-game interview with you, and you come into the safeties room, essentially, is where we do that, and it's just me and you, and I don't think he had any idea who we were, and rightfully so. And you kind of said to him, hey, did you dominate that media session? And I think he thought it was a real question. He said to you, yes, I did. So he's got a little confidence to him. And then we later went on and we were joking. I said, hey, man, I know you finally got banged up for good. You can admit to us you ran into your own guy, correct? And he admitted that he ran into Brian Hudson, and he probably would have gone the rest of the way if not that wasn't the case.
That's true. I mean, he's so funny, and he's so he's got that great smile. But then he was talking about that fact, just you know, challenging the lineman, and you could just hear it in the tone of his voice. He's kind of got like a little Southern accent, you know. He's got that thing like, hey, get them boys to the next level. Let's get them linebackers out of the way, you know. And he was talking about that a little bit. And, yeah, he is a funny kid, and just talking about killed it at the press conference. He's confident, and he's only going to get more and more confident as time goes on. But he's just such a bright spot and infectious smile, and you just love what he's all about. Man, is he talented too. He can make he'll be a big difference maker.
As we're discussing this run game, Mike, let's also discuss it in totality. Deshaun McLeese, who was the last guy to rush for 100 yards in a game, it happened in the Military Bowl last year when he really had to become your workhorse due to injuries to some of the other running backs you had on the roster, namely Stephen Peoples at the time. Deshaun McLeese hasn't looked right, I think is the term. He looks healthy, and he knows his role, and it's changed a little bit without Jalen Holston, but for whatever reason, the Hokies haven't been able to get him as that 1B punch to King thus far.
Yeah, and I don't understand why. I mean, obviously, we've seen him in the past be able to make big plays. I mean, you saw it in the bowl game. You know, we've seen it in several games in the past. I just don't know. I mean, I was thinking back to that and thinking what Keyshawn was talking about and some of his post-game remarks about he had to show more patience. You know, let the blocks develop. Let his linemen kind of do their thing, and then when you see the crease go. And so maybe Deshaun has to take a little page out of that book. Maybe he's trying to get up in there too fast before the holes open. And I don't know for whatever reason, but I love Deshaun. I think he's a great kid, and obviously this is his last go-around, you know. He wants to have a big year, and I hope he does. And they're going to need him because every one of those guys gets banged up through the course of the season. And so I just know he's got so much talent. Maybe they can use him in other ways, get him into backfield and let him catch some balls or whatever. But he's got a lot of talent, but for whatever reason, it just hasn't clicked quite yet.
And maybe part of that for Deshaun McLeese, too, is it seems like oftentimes in the RPOs when he's being handed the football, there is a penetrator already there from the defensive line. That's not on Deshaun McLeese, obviously, or Keyshawn King for that matter. It's a little bit on Ryan Willis making those decisions, but it's a lot on the offensive line. I hate to point him out because he's one of our favorite guys, Silas Janzy, and he's done such a great job maturing into his role, but he had a stumble on Saturday, to say the least. He struggled out of the gate for whatever reason. Luke Tenuta had to come in. You saw in the second half, though, they gave Silas another opportunity, and he played better in the second half. I would have to imagine that seems to be the new way that this coaching staff is approaching it. A mistake doesn't kill your playing time for the rest of the game. I like to see that from Silas. Obviously, we're going to need to see him get back to his level, but I think he is a guy that gets another opportunity at the front line of that defensive or offensive line.
Yeah, he's going to have to. And I loved the fact that when you talk about mistakes, think about Trey Turner. Fu had pulled him out, left him sitting on the sideline. That might have been a different game because he comes back and has two touchdowns. But back to Silas, I mean, nobody felt worse than he did. And somebody was telling me after the game, I forget who it was, that in the locker room he was really jacked up before the game. And maybe he was just too pumped up. And he just, you know, Ryan Willis was talking about when and we see Virginia Tech's defense do it all the time. They'll shift before the snap of the ball. And he said they were saying, you know, they were screaming out, move, and Silas got freaked a couple times and jumped. You know, he flinched. And so nobody felt worse than he did. And even he tweeted after the game or something.
Yeah, I've got to do better, no excuses.
Yeah, got to do better, no excuses. So, I mean, he owned up to it. So you got to love that about him. And nobody wants to do better than he does. But I think that offensive line is still a work in progress. And the fact that Vance Vice does play so many of those guys, he's got a short leash with them. I mean, he said time after time, you know, what have you done for me lately? And when Silas, we talked about on the air, you know, the hook's going to be coming. And sure enough, after he had that lookout block, the hook kind of came, and it had to make a change. And I thought Luke Tenuta played well. He's such a big kid. He can take up some space in there.
Yeah, I actually thought that there was some patience shown by the coaching staff for the fact that he was out there for that series. I thought that change might have come prior to that. It wound up coming a couple plays later. But, again, Silas Jansen will be back, will be a big part of this offensive line. And to Mike's point, you're going to need that to be the case. All right, Mike, as we present Hokie Pod today from Buffalo Wild Wings, let's move on to the aerial game. Trey Turner makes an impact, a two-yard caught touchdown from a fade. He also impacts the game heavily in the ground game. Hokie's got that sweep game going, including a 29-yard touchdown run from Trey Turner. But once again, they did it without Damon Hazleton. He has not set foot on the field through 3 weeks. It seems to be a little bit more discouraged tone when the coaches, including Justin Fuente, talk about where he is. That's not because they're upset with Damon or his inability to get on the field. It's just because this injury, this hamstring injury, just continues to linger and linger. And with each passing day and week, even though coach won't use this term, it becomes more frustrating because this offense can't reach its full potential without its biggest, most physical receiver.
I know, and you think about the great year he had last year after sitting out a whole year after the transfer from Ball State. I mean, you just feel so bad for him that he can't get well, and you know he's frustrated. He was thinking, man, I'm going to have an all-ACC type year. I caught 51 balls last year. I caught a touchdown in the first five games. You just know he's frustrated and upset. The hamstrings, man, it's such a different animal that if you don't get completely well, then you can re-aggravate it. And I just assume, I haven't talked to Damon in a while, but I just assume that's probably what's happening to him. But, you know, he's already redshirted. So I think, in my mind, you just shut the kid down and get him well, whatever that is, whenever that's going to be. Because there's so many games left to be played. And you think about that last stretch of five games when three of them are on the road. I mean, if you can get him back like last year, he played great the first half of the season. Then he gets hurt, right? Never gets the same. And then Trey Turner comes on. So, you know, if you have to shut him down, then shut him down. But get him to where he can play because you're going to need him somewhere down the line, and especially that last five games when you think about going on the road and playing Notre Dame, and then you got, what, Wake Forest, and you got Georgia Tech on the road and Pitt and UVA on the road. I mean, you're going to need the kid, and he's a game changer.
Yeah, without question. I think there was some optimism, obviously, that if he wasn't able to go or he wasn't quite ready to go against Furman, you could shut him down and essentially buy yourselves 3 weeks in that interest. And now that's down to less than 2 weeks as we record Hokie Pod here at Buffalo Wild Wings, because it's already Tuesday of the bye week, and then next week will be a short week. We don't have an update as to where Damon Hazleton is at the moment. We haven't seen the Hokies get back on the practice field as of yet either, but everybody's hoping for that, obviously, for the fortunes of this Virginia Tech offense, but also for the kid, because he's a phenomenal kid, transferred, patiently sat out a year, exploded onto the scene last year. And I was discussing this primarily last week, Mike. I think you chimed in with your thoughts. He's kind of that guy that changes the way the defense can scheme just because of his physical stature, and those other weapons like Trey Turner, like Caleb Smith, like Tavion Robinson, they all just become more potent when he's there.
I agree. I mean, he's somebody that you got to take account for, whether you have to bracket coverage him or, you know, zone him up or get some help on the side there, whatever, just to try to make a difference, because he is a difference maker, and I think those other guys will benefit when he does come back. Not that they've played poorly, because you think about Trey and how well he's done, and just all those guys have really stepped up their game, and Ryan's done a nice job of finding receivers, different guys. So, but he's such a good kid, and you hate it for him, but you hope that he can come back. And I know Fu said last night, he talked about on the radio show, that maybe after Thursday they'll evaluate him and see where he is, because then you're not going to practice again until Sunday, I guess. So, yeah, if he could get through these 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Thursday, maybe he's got a chance. If he doesn't aggravate it, then maybe he can get back.
Talking about Damon Hazleton, talking Hokie football as we do on Hokie Pod. This is the first ever occasion on which we've taken it outside of our offices. We are at Buffalo Wild Wings Blacksburg. Beautiful new location here in Blacksburg for Wing Tuesday. Wing fanatics are starting to make their way in, along with just other lunchers in town and Hokie football fans as well. We continue to dissect Furman. We're going to dive into Duke and also the bye week schedule for this team as we continue on this podcast. Mike, there were a lot, I felt, of defensive bright spots in the game. First and foremost among them was, outside of the two occasions in which the offense turned it over on the plus side of the field for Furman offensively, the defense was pretty much dominant in this game. And also, you may have identified a bright new star on that defense, number 22, Chamari Connor. He was everywhere. And I know Dax Hollifield eventually got credit for forcing a fumble, but Chamari Connor, in my eyes, made that play happen, made it happen for the defense, and that was the turning point ultimately in the game that won you the game. I also want to touch on some of the younger defensive linemen in a second, but start with Connor. You've seen some greats at that position in Bud Foster's lunch pail defense. It's very early. I'm not making that comparison yet. Don't worry, Hokies. Don't at me, as we like to say. But a great first three games for him in a starting role.
Yeah, and I thought this was his best game, this last one, because I think he just showed his ability to be such an explosive playmaker. His ability to tackle in space, you know, he can make plays out there. You've got to be under control in that position. I think he learned from his mistakes when he talked about rushing the passer, you know, 1 week to the next week when he called the blitz. I just think and he's a big physical kid. He doesn't say much. You look at him in post game, man, you got to drag words out of him, but he makes his play on the field. He's a lot like Reggie Floyd somewhat in that regard, because Reggie doesn't say a lot, but he lets his play do the talking. And he's a tremendous kid and an unbelievable athlete, and I just think the future is so bright for him. If he can continue to make play after play like that in space, you know, he'll be compared to some of the greats that have been around here.
Very early going in the career of Chamari Connor. That's a great thing for this program and for those that are fans of it, because he continues to be a more and more impactful difference maker for this defense. Let's flip it to the defensive line. Hokies have been without Taiwan Garbutt since the first handful of plays against Boston College. I think we came into the season believing, and I know this coaching staff did, that he is your best edge pass rusher. But before we get into what his return might mean, Mike, Manuel Belmar in his absence stepped up and I felt like played his finest game of the season as well, registering a big, fierce sack of the quarterback, Darren Granger, in that win over Furman. But all of those things are just kind of holding water from the dam until Garbutt gets back. The coaching staff seems and sounds optimistic that that will happen for Duke.
I hope so, because you think about what's sad about Lays is that here he is, he's out there, and there's a bad play, and he's kind of going trying to make a play, and then he gets kind of blindsided, and Garbutt gets lit up, and he hadn't been back since. And that's game one, right, the first quarter of game one. And so he's basically missed a fourth of the season, which is sad because it was an illegal block, basically. The league agreed, and so he's still out. And that's what's frustrating about it. It's because he's one of your better players, one with the most experience, had a heck of a year last year when he came on so strong. And now he's sitting there out. So you definitely need to get him back. He is a difference maker. I thought Belmar did play his best game. And I thought Mario Kendricks, you know, Mario, it's crazy. You look at his numbers. He's got like five or six tackles. Half of them are like tackles for loss or sacks, 2.5 out of his five or six tackles. So he's a moose down inside there. And I think when he gets in a little better shape and gets a little more physical and stronger, he'll be a difference maker too. But I think those defensive linemen are coming along. That was the spot everybody worried about, the defensive ends and the defensive linemen. And I think they're coming along. They do have a little depth. And Charlie's done a nice job of shuffling them in and out to keep them fresh, especially on these hot days. So there's still a little bit of work in progress, but they are making progress.
And I want to keep it with the defensive line for just a moment, because Deshaun Crawford also, I think, played his finest game off that defensive line. We expected that to be the case, and that's why he starts alongside Jared Hewitt. You mentioned Kendricks. I wanted to get into him. He seems to be a very disruptive player who does need to work on some of those things, namely conditioning, that you were discussing. Narelle Pollard, though, Mike, was not a guy we talked about a lot coming into camp. I noticed him in the second scrimmage. I'm like, hey, who's that number 96? That's Narelle Pollard. I remember when we were excited when he signed here. He's blossomed quicker than I think people felt like, and now you're not three deep in the middle right now, but you might be 2.5 deep, because Pollard's gotten in the mix, and we've seen the emergence of Rob Porche a little bit over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, neither one of those guys are really big. I mean, Porche is, what, about 275, and you know, when you look at Pollard, he's not only 265 or something, so they're a little undersized, but they got some good quickness. And so, they can make a difference, especially when they get bigger. You think about they like Jared Hewitt when he was not quite big enough. You know, the tendency is they'll wear you down. You got these 315-pound linemen coming after you play after play after play. So they have a tendency to wear you down. But I think they got a lot of potential. And for having to get thrown to the fire like that as true freshmen, I think they've answered the call pretty well.
This is Hokie Pod originating from Buffalo Wild Wings in Blacksburg as we bring it to you on a Wing Tuesday. We're off schedule a little bit for a variety of reasons. First and foremost is that it's the bye week. I can see that they are just about to bring Mike's wings out. So let's take a couple-minute timeout. Mike will have one of those wings. He's not going to dive in fully yet. We've got to talk about Duke and what Friday night's football return to Blacksburg needs to mean for this program, and also a quick glance at the Blue Devils. We'll, of course, get more into Duke on Hokie Pod and Tech Talk Live and everything else full scale next week as it becomes game week here in Blacksburg. We pause from Hokie Pod, but we come back with much more from Buffalo Wild Wings in Blacksburg.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Mack Weldon. I don't know about you, but I feel like shopping has become less fun over the years. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or what, but even basic essentials, you go into the store, they might not have what you need. Sometimes the quality isn't there, and it really discourages you from going to the store. But then I found Mack Weldon, and I was blown away by how easy it was. I don't know about you, but I'm a fall person. I love fall. And so I looked around and needed some new fall shirts and hoodies, and they arrived really quick on my doorstep. And when I tried them on, I just knew I had something high quality on it. And that's the thing about Mack Weldon, is that everything they make is high quality. Not only is it easy, but in a world where quality can be scarce sometimes, but not at Mack Weldon. So try it, MackWeldon.com, and they've got everything from socks, hoodies, shirts, and that's just the start of it. They have a ton of stuff for you to look at on their website. And with your first order, you can take 20% off with the promo code COLLEGE. And you also get free shipping if you order anything over $50 or more. So Mack Weldon is better than anything you're wearing right now, guaranteed. And they're so sure that if you don't like it, you can keep it and they'll give you a full refund, no questions asked. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It's MackWeldon.com, promo code COLLEGE.
Hokie Pod continues. We're chocked full of sponsors now, as you heard there. It just continues to grow. We continue to embolden Andrew Allegretta's original vision by being here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Blacksburg. We're excited about that. We're excited about conference season arising, too, with all due respect to the non-conference opponents that you play. And the Hokies have another that's a little bit more of a name program in Notre Dame in a few weeks. But the Duke Blue Devils come into town, Mike, and it just, for whatever the case may be, the first two home games has not looked like Virginia Tech football in the stands for people. They have not left with a feeling of comfort. They have not had a night game. They have not had a game later than noon. They haven't had the opportunity to get out and tailgate for the duration of the day and just be all jacked up and ready when Enter Sandman plays. You and I have discussed this publicly. We've discussed it more in detail privately, and I don't know necessarily if we need to get into the anatomy of all that needs to happen, but something good needs to happen for this team when Duke comes in, Mike, for the benefit of everybody involved, and that's the players and the coaches and us and the fans and everybody else. This needs to be a big night on Friday for Virginia Tech football. You've been saying it since the middle of July to circle this night, and I think it's only been enhanced by what's happened thus far in the season.
Well, it's certainly been enhanced because of the fact you lost to Boston College. You think about, we talked about all summer about how big that game was, and then you turn it over five times and you lose by seven, and then you're one down in the standings, right? Even though it's not a Coastal Division game. So I think when you look at the big picture and you look at the fact that the Hokies have an opportunity to square it up, they better. I mean, it is a huge game for them because you cannot afford to go 0-2 in the league and heading to Miami the next week. I mean, it's just not going to be a pretty sight. So I think it is all those things you talked about, you know, the fact that it's going to be a night game and people get lit up and jacked up for night games, even though it's a Friday. You know, high school football kind of conflicts with some people and some people from coming out of town that have to work on Fridays. But I think it'll be a tremendous crowd. It should be the best crowd of the year. It is a good Duke team coming into town with a veteran, you know, fifth-year quarterback that's a dual-threat quarterback, Quentin Harris. So I think the challenge is there, but the Hokies have got to get right. I mean, they have not played great in any one of the games. They have had tremendous quarters and some really good halves, but to put together a 60-minute game, they haven't done that yet, and they better do it now because, again, heading on the road to Miami the next week, it's not going to get any easier. And so I think the opportunity's there, but they got to make it happen.
You mentioned Quentin Harris, who's been in that Duke program for a long time. He got some starts last year because Daniel Jones memorably had the collarbone issue, thought was going to sideline him for a much longer than it did. Jones wound up miraculously coming off the training table and starting against the Hokies. The Hokies were coming off that loss to Old Dominion and really bounced back in a big way down in Durham. But the Hokies had prepared for Harris to start that matchup, Mike, so they are very familiar with him, of course. Bud Foster is. I memorably remember when I told him that I had just received an alert that Daniel Jones was starting, he said, you know, it's the same Duke team, essentially. Justin Fuente told us last night on Tech Talk Live, he thinks this is the most complete Duke team, despite some of their skill position losses that they suffered, including Daniel Jones. I know you haven't full-scale broken out the Blue Devils just yet, but you have seen them. Do you share that opinion?
You know, I don't know. I thought they were pretty good a couple of years ago, too. I mean, Daniel Jones, anytime he was back there, he was going to be dangerous. And, you know, I thought that was a huge win last year when you put everything in there about what happened the week before and the fact that Ryan Wills was going to start his first game. You know, they got it, 31-14? I think they won that game, and it was on the road. Of course, more than half of the stands were Tech fans, you know, which they always do down at Duke. But it was a big game for him. And, you know, Quentin Harris, when you look at him, I was listening to him when we were at the media day down in Charlotte that day, and he was talking about that they had, I think, three offensive linemen back, and they were talking about he's got some running backs back and tight ends. And he said a lot of those guys that were backups were the guys that he was working with on the second team. So he had a little chemistry with those receivers and whatnot. And I think he's really a good quarterback. To dual threat, you know, he's fast, he speaks so well, and he's smart as a whip. And you heard him up there, he was like, he could be a lawyer, you know. I mean, he was so bright. And he looked at the league standings. He's fourth in the league in passing efficiency and fourth in total offense, I think. So, and he's coming off a game he threw four touchdown passes. Yeah, it was Middle Tennessee State, but he had four TD passes in that game. And he ran for over 100 yards. So, he's a guy that's a lot better than you would hope he would be, especially against the Virginia Tech defense when you've got mobile quarterbacks. But he's got some weapons around him. And I just think he's excited about the opportunity again for him to come on the road after the Alabama game. Of course, a lot of people would struggle against them, but I know they're looking forward to coming up and playing in this atmosphere.
Well, here's music to everyone's ears, including Hokie fans, and that is the fact that Duke is now running some triple option concepts.
Yeah, how about that? Because you got a guy like Quentin Harris that can do it, and he's a stocky guy that's got really good speed, and he's got an arm too, as we saw with those four touchdown passes. So, yeah, it could be interesting.
It'll be an interesting night in Blacksburg for sure. But, again, to echo what I was saying there at the beginning and what Mike added to, I just feel like it has to be a get-right game for Virginia Tech in just multiple ways. You just have to leave Lane Stadium on Friday night feeling good about, again, being a part of this Virginia Tech program. And I have the expectation that this team, Mike, is going to play a lot better. Well, let's change gears a little bit, because right before I drove over here, I got the word that, speaking of Daniel Jones, the New York Giants have made the change at quarterback. Just wanted to get your thoughts quickly on an ACC former quarterback being the sixth pick overall in the draft. Maybe you don't have to circle back that far, but already now being inserted and taking over for a guy who's won a couple Super Bowls.
Yeah, you know, the leash was going to be pretty short. I mean, all the speculation was is like how many games they're going to have before he gets in there. And obviously when you start out bad in this league, the money that they're making and the coaches that got their head on the line week after week and they'll get fired mid-season after three or four games, it doesn't matter. Man, you got to do what's best for the team, give you the best opportunity to win. And obviously he had a really good preseason, I thought. He throws the ball so well and picked up the offense well. And hey, man, you got to make the change, and I know he's excited for it, and you never know what could happen. But, yeah, I mean, Eli was kind of on the backside of things anyway, even though he won those Super Bowls. A couple of those were like gifts, you know, when you think about some of the plays that had to be made for them to win those games, especially when New England was unbeaten. Yeah, it's crazy. But, no, not a huge surprise, and I just think he's well prepared for it.
All right, let's flip it back. Let's focus again on the Hokies. As the Hokies focusing on themselves during the course of this bye week, let's start with the injury report before we get into the schedule. We've touched on Damon Hazelton. No real new update. They may evaluate him again a little bit later on in the week. Everyone hopeful that we'll see 1-4 at some point, hoping obviously that is Friday against the Duke Blue Devils. Taiwan Garbutt, we've discussed. I think this team is optimistic and hopeful that if not Duke, he'll be back sooner rather than later after unfortunately suffering that injury against Boston College. Zachariah Hoyt, let's pause right there. Mike, I think he was close. I think had it been a conference game last week, he may have been able to go. I think he goes against Duke.
I think so, too. I mean, I hope so anyway. He, we saw him. We were in the scrimmage, gosh, way back in August when he got hurt, and he's never been the right since. And so he's obviously – kid's got a lot of experience, and they've shuffled a couple of guys in there at center because he hasn't been available. And so it's a work in progress. I think it'd be great to have him back. He certainly wants to get back there, but he needs to be healthy. The game he got hurt, you know, it looked like he was gimpy the whole game anyway. So hopefully he's had time to get himself well, get right, because, again, when you're back to conference play and you're staring at the fact that you can't go 0-2 in the league, you got to have all your weapons, and hopefully he'll be ready to go.
Stay with the offensive line, T.J. Jackson. Haven't seen him the last two games either.
Yeah, I know, and he was walking around in that boot. You know, he's a big kid, and it's the last kind of go-around for him as well, and he's such a big factor out there. You know, he's been hurt so much that he might not be able to go. Even if he gets back, he might not have to be able to go full anyway just because his stamina is probably not there. But if you could get him back, that would certainly help and gives you another body in there.
Here's a couple of guys that we believe are fine that were banged up in the last game, namely Keyshawn King. It was just essentially a bone bruise, and he got hit in the same spot twice. We were laughing a little bit about it, not really a laughing matter, because he ran into Brian Hudson, his own center, the second time. We asked him right after the game, and he said, no, I'm fine. I could go, and obviously he'll have almost 2 weeks to get there.
Yeah, and he needs to be healthy. I mean, he's such a dynamic runner, an explosive runner. You definitely need him healthy. And, so glad that he got out of the game and got out of there unscathed, because the last thing you need to do is have your most explosive guy on offense get hurt.
And here's one last guy I want to look at on the injury report, not because he's been injured again, but just because we haven't seen him. Jovan Quillen did return. Mm-hmm. He missed Old Dominion, came back, played pretty well, kind of spelled Waller in that game, and you went with a three-cornerback tandem or rotation, I should say, against the Paladins. We haven't seen Jeremy Webb at any point this year. We thought maybe the Hokies would try to sprinkle him in. Of course, he's coming back or attempting to off not one but two Achilles ruptures. That's incredibly difficult to do, particularly as of now. We're almost to three full calendar years since he's played a game. Hadn't been able to practice at all either in the Hokies scheme, and it's taking a little bit, although he has not had a setback. I'll knock on the table right here. It's made of wood, I believe. Has not had a setback at this point. But they're trying to get him there, and this will be another 2 weeks in which he's probably closer to being able to contribute.
You know, I was thinking about Jeremy, and you know, there was a lot of hype around him coming in, because you just look at him, and physically you're thinking, wow, that dude can play. And he was a heck of a player. And then you get the one Achilles, right? And they say Achilles is – I've never had one, fortunately. Again, knock on wood. That's one of the toughest injuries to come back from. Okay, so suppose he loses – a step or tenths of a second off his time, and then you think he's getting well, and then he does the other Achilles. Okay, so then you got to fight back from that, and he loses another step and another tenth of a second, and he just hasn't gotten himself back where they feel comfortable enough to play him. And especially when you're out there on an island like he would be, and it ain't like we've had a lot of games, right? We've been in a big lead, right, that you could afford to put somebody in there and experiment a little bit. So I think that's probably why we haven't seen him, especially when Quillen was able to come back. You know, he might not have been 100%, but they got him in there. And so I think he can be a really good player. It's just a matter of getting him out there and getting some experience, because you hate to throw him out there, and you haven't had the luxury, again, of being able to put him out there when if he gave up a touchdown, it would matter. We haven't had those things. So I think he can be good, but they're just not to the comfort level, and I don't think he is either to – feel like he's 100% ready to just push off and go full speed.
Let me ask you a serious question, partner. You just mentioned you've never had a ruptured Achilles, and I hope that remains the case. How exactly do you envision that happening, eating wings?
Well, it won't happen here today, but I'm thinking about playing tennis tonight. You
okay.
Know? It's like I've had guys, friends of mine, man, they were playing racquetball, and, you know, you explode to try to get to that ball that's up there short in the corner. Yeah. Or even in tennis, you know, that thing will pop, and it's apparently a miserable injury. and have two of them like he did, I cannot imagine how bad that is.
Yeah, Tom Gabbert has that wicked drop shot. You always got to be ready to charge from the baseline for sure. Well, again, this is Hokie Pod originating from Buffalo Wild Wings. We're going to do this multiple times throughout the course of the athletic year. We're excited about it. It's a beautiful new place, and they've treated us so kindly.
Till we get to that whole menu.
That's right, yeah. What did you order today?
I got a buffalo wrap coming, some wings, yeah. And I see them eating over there already. We're going to go steal some from a couple tables just to sample.
Yeah,
we're going to do that too.
Absolutely. Well, this is the bye week. Last one for you from a football perspective, Mike. Justin Fuente has been very candid. He said, we're going to practice a lot. And he said it in the heat of the moment after the game, but he meant it. And it's not something you'll hear him say a lot if the bye week is after the midpoint of the season, because at that point you get to week 8, you get to week 9, you're just trying to band-aid things together a lot of times from a health perspective and get guys healthy by holding them out, as you mentioned maybe you do with Damon Hazelton here this week. But that's not where this football team is at. Fortunately, you also have another late season bye coming up, so they're going to use this almost as a short third camp for the year, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think it comes at a great time when you think about the schedule was late. Out. We talked about that way back when it came out, and especially in the summer. 3 games, and then you got an open date. 4 games, you got an open date. Then you got that last 5. But, yeah, I mean, guys like Rayshard Ashby, the guys that play a lot, they don't need to be out there banging their heads these next 3 days, which they won't be. Okay, so, but guys like Keyshawn Artis, I mean, he needs the reps and the work. You know, he'll be out there to do it. So, it gives those chances for some of those guys that back up the Dylan Rivers and some of those guys to get some more work and help them out, get them a little more confident, a little more work. So it is a little bit different in that the starters won't see as much, but a lot of them, like if you go down to game 7 or 8 when they just need to just take a break and get nothing doing, some of these younger guys can get some work, and some of these other guys that don't play a ton can get some more work, the Caleb Smiths on offense and those type kids. So, yeah, it's really good. It's going to help get guys healthy, but it's also going to get some great experience on technique and something for some of those young defensive linemen and some of the backup offensive linemen.
Well, Mikey, that'll just about do it for Hokie Pod. A reminder, this was not a full-strength Hokie Pod today. Wes McElroy will rejoin us next week. We'll also have the return of our player interview series as well. But this is our schedule because it's a bye week going into a short week. Tech Talk Live, because the team is now practicing in the morning as opposed to when they were practicing in years past, it doesn't mean that we need to change the schedule. So that will come to you Monday night across town at McLean's at First and Main. Justin Fuente will be with Mike and I from 7 to 8 o'clock. Getting you ready, of course, for kick on Friday night against Duke. We will have another Hokie Pod before that Duke game, and we'll drop that next Wednesday. So we'll be a day earlier, give you a couple of days to listen and download and digest that before the Blue Devils are here. Kickoff scheduled for shortly after 7 o'clock, which means Mike, Wes, Luther, myself, our entire team will be on the air with you from Hokie Village with the Kubota Kickoff Show at 5:30. So time to enjoy some wings, time to enjoy the bye week. Partner, we'll let you do both of those. Thank you so much, as always, for being a part of Hokie Pod. Thank you for listening, Hokies. Thanks for being Hokies. And we'll talk to you on multiple platforms over the next 9 days, leading you to Duke Friday night. This has been Hokie Pod, and we thank our friends also here at Buffalo Wild Wings, Blacksburg.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.